I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving holiday, and I know ours was a little strange in the Baum house because of COVID and whatnot. We didn't really get to hang out with the family, but we still made the best of it, and it went really well. But it kind of felt like a nice, relaxing end to a pretty stressful month. And the main stress of this month, yes, definitely COVID, but there was also an election. So today, we're going to talk about the election, but don't worry, we're not going to get into the Trump stuff and Biden stuff, not at all. Today, we are going to talk about cannabis on the ballot. I wanted to give everybody a few weeks to just decompress after how gnarly the whole election process really was before we could talk about this kind of stuff, but it seemed like a really good time to get together with the other Ministry of Hemp guys and just talk through what went down as far as cannabis measures that were on ballots all over the United States. So here is our little Ministry of Hemp roundtable discussion about cannabis and the 2020 election. I am joined here today by the entire Ministry of Hemp crew, which is awesome because we've never done this. We've had Drew, Kit and I have done some shows. We've had Drew on some shows, but Desiree is here too. Desiree, why don't we start with you? Say hi to the kids and tell them what you do for Ministry of Hemp.
My name is Desiree Kane. I'm a Miwok Two-Spirit that recently moved to the Pacific Northwest in occupied Salish territory. What I do with Ministry of Hemp is right now I'm doing the holiday guide with Drew and Kit, where I get to take beautiful pictures of a whole bunch of products that you can come to Ministry of Hemp and see Kit's input and review and, you know, learn some things about CBD. It comes in so many different forms and you can expect, you know, to see my pictures in there. Sometimes I also do educational videos. So you'll see me making spritzers and also perhaps explaining to you what is CBG or, you know, what is CBN.
You have the glamorous job. We're all here rolling around in the muck and, you know, editing, and you're making spritzers and making videos, you know.
It's not awful.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That was the most punk rock intro we're going to hear tonight, by the way, and I really liked it. Drew, introduce yourself again. We know you, but, you know, just for the kids, the new listeners.
Yeah. My name is Drew, and I am the brand manager at Ministry of Hemp, just making sure everything's flowing and that we keep working with great brands.
And then Kit, our editor-in-chief, say hi.
Hey, everybody. This is Kit O'Connell. Great to be here again.
You know Kit. He's been with me on a bunch of our Q&A shows. We're not doing a Q&A show today, but what we are going to do, I don't know if you pay attention to the news or not, there was a little election recently, and it got some coverage, and people freaked out about stuff, and I know my heart almost stopped a few times, and if it wasn't for CBD, I probably wouldn't still be here, but luckily, I have lots of samples, and they got me through that week. We just wanted to let everybody decompress a little bit, maybe, you know, accept what happened with the election, and then we can move forward from there, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about marijuana and hemp in the 2020 election, because while we can say that it looks like America is very split, if you look at the election results and how many votes went to Republicans and how many went to Democrats, one thing they don't seem to be split on at all is marijuana and hemp, which is kind of shocking. It was on a ton of ballots all over the United States, and it won pretty big. Not just that, but psychedelics as well, in the form of mushrooms, seemed to win really huge. Desiree, you just moved to Portland. Tell us what went down in Oregon, which blew my mind, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So Oregon, basically it is now legal to, or will be by 2023, to have therapeutically administered psilocybin therapy, which psilocybin is the is also known as magic mushrooms. They also decriminalized low levels of all drugs.
So what does that mean exactly? Because there are some pundits that freaked out, of course, and they're like, oh, great, now kids can walk around with heroin. Like, what does that exactly mean, small amounts of drugs? Or is there a number on anything, or?
That's something that I would have to look into it following that vote.
Yeah.
But I do know that basically they're going to approach it as a public health thing, and if you have certain types of controlled substances, you'll be into a therapy program instead of sent into the prison industrial complex, which creates a whole other set of issues that are problematic.
It's also very similar to a lot of programs that are going on in Europe right now, where rather than demonizing addiction, you work with addicts. And
it's the same thing that Portugal has done.
Yeah. And it's super successful. And it scares a lot of people here in the United States, but guess what? It works, folks. And it's here because you voted for it. So what else did we have on the ballot? Anybody, let's chime in. Let's talk about this.
Well, I wanted to jump off of what Desiree was just saying, because what's just happened in Oregon, you know, we don't know what's going to happen at the federal level. Obviously, a lot is still to be seen about what's going to come. But if you look at the platform for President-elect Biden, his platform that he ran under actually was quite progressive on the war on drugs. And one of the things that he talks about in there is encouraging that people be diverted away from the prisons for possession.
Yeah.
So we could see that. And there actually has been some Republican support for reducing the war on drugs, too. So this is something that has some bipartisan support. And there's even one of the things that we're seeing that's interesting is that there's, you know, this growing bipartisan support from the people of the United States across the political board for cannabis legalization. A majority of people, it's almost 70%, I think, in one of the studies I saw, across the political spectrum now support cannabis legalization. And that's really extraordinary. So that includes Democrats, Republicans, young people, old people, people from all backgrounds, races. If you lump them all together, take an average, the vast majority of people support this idea.
So real quick, just to spell it out, marijuana, specifically cannabis, was made legal for medicinal reasons in Mississippi and South Dakota. These are two distinctly red states. Like, South Dakota has legalized medical marijuana, and they have a governor that didn't want people driving hemp through the state. So the people have definitely spoken there. Pretty shocking. And then voters legalized the possession of marijuana by adults in Arizona, Montana, New Jersey, and South Dakota. So they got medical marijuana and recreational marijuana in South Dakota, which I thought for a long time, I've been saying for a long time, Nebraska will be the very, very last state to legalize marijuana, and it will be after Puerto Rico is a state. So watch for that. And now South Dakota has just proved me right, because South Dakota, very hostile to this stuff. But the
Montana?
Voters. Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind. Actually, Montana, we'll see. From what I understand, that's going to be on the ballot there soon, too. So we'll see. It's the people that are coming out and voting for this. We listen to what a lot of officials say and look at laws they're trying to put on things to hold cannabis back, hold hemp back. But then whenever it goes to ballot, guess what? It gets voted in. The only reason it wasn't on the ballot in Nebraska is because our governor said, there's a problem with the paperwork. Try again next time. And then ran around in circles so they couldn't catch him, because we were basically saying, what is the problem with the paperwork? Tell us. They wouldn't answer until it was too late. And so it didn't make the ballot. And just like you said, Kit, when polled in Nebraska, 74% of the population said, yeah, I'm fine with it. It does not bother me at all. It just,
there is also not a governor that can avoid, in states like the Dakotas or any of the breadbasket states, the big agriculture industry that comes with it. So the farmer, I think we can expect the farmers to be a little more mobilized around it. And that's why you have Governor Noem in North Dakota doesn't want it, you know, driven through or whatever, but there are hemp farmers who are being locked out of a crop. And at the end of the day, that's the constituency base that rules those states.
Right.
So in the best interest of the farmers, you know, is to get on board, and that will inevitably shift the politics of the governorship.
Oh, definitely. And if you look at that list of states, almost all of them, barring New Jersey, really are, well, in Arizona, maybe, are agricultural states. So these states know where their bread is buttered. Nebraska is one where we have gently said, well, we want to sort of look into what it's like growing hemp. And they've been very wishy-washy about it because the farmers want it. But like you said, you have governors who have to run on their constituency, and they are terrified that their constituency will look at them and say, oh, you're a hippie and you like smoking weed now. Got it. We're going to vote for this crazy person that's going to tell us it's a sin or whatever. So
the Supreme Court recently resolved that issue where the Electoral College didn't have to vote the will of their constituency base. So moving forward, you know, your vote is going to matter in a way that it hasn't before.
Definitely. Definitely.
Truly. And so it'll become increasingly important to vote when you have these opportunities, because it can change American politics if we want it to. We just have to actually organize around that.
Definitely. I also think it's hilarious that a lot of these states, you have very hardline, not just, you know, anti-cannabis, but just anti-drugs all across the board candidates who now have to look at the people that voted for this and go, oh, okay, well, I guess that changes things a little bit. And maybe I have to loosen up on some ideas of my own. So,
I mean, I think it's like, it's become undeniable of the various benefits of legalizing cannabis and legalizing hemp and making sure that they get those regulations out quickly, you know, because in Texas, like right when all of the other states legalized cannabis and marijuana, one of the state senators or state representatives in San Antonio, he put down a bill to legalize it here in Texas, stating that, like, because of coronavirus, you know, there's a $4.6 billion budget hole that we're going to have to deal with, like, oh, next year and the years to come. So it's like, here's an easy solution that doesn't involve raising people's taxes, you know, add another revenue stream.
Absolutely.
And it's like, there's only so many times that you can ignore that before it's just like glaringly obvious.
It's funny because we voted for gambling here, but we couldn't vote for cannabis. So, you know. And I know, don't get me wrong, cannabis has ruined far more lives than gambling has in this country. We all know that to be true. So it's absolutely ridiculous.
Speaking of the records, one thing that was cool that happened in Arizona was as soon as it was voted in, one of the district attorney in Arizona's largest county started dropping the charges for people like immediately. So they immediately started dropping marijuana charges for folks there, which I thought was more important.
Definitely. Yeah. Like that's the even larger side of this is when you start legalizing it for adult usage, you have to look at all these ridiculous cases and overcrowded prisons and overcrowded courtrooms and just get rid of this garbage. Get rid of it. So we can focus on real issues, real crime, real problems, not the guy that, you know, had an ounce in his pocket when he got pulled over for doing 5 miles over the limit, you know, the speed limit or something. So I'm really interested to see where that goes.
It has to be said, too, they've done studies now, you know, consistently that showing that there's a racial disparity when it comes to arrests around drugs. And one of the problems that we're seeing is that racial disparity does not disappear even under most forms of legalization, quote-unquote legalization. There's always still ways that you can break the law in a legal state. You can sell weed without a permit, or you can have too much of it, or all kinds of things can happen. And they're showing that it's still a disparity that Black people and people of color are arrested more, even though when they do studies of drug use, it's the same, that white people and people of color use drugs at the same, or even white people use them more depending on the drug. So, it's we need to make sure that we're expunging cases And we're making sure that there's an accessible and like a level playing field under whatever we call legalization.
Definitely. So what happened in Texas? Tell me, Texas people. Drew and Kit are both Texans. What happened? I thought this was supposed to be on the bill. I thought it was supposed to pass. I thought you guys were going to flip blue. You both promised me it was going to happen.
We've been saying that for years here, that we're going to flip blue.
Yeah.
Maybe if it had been on the ballot, we wouldn't know. But I think like it's still something. It always gets caught up, like marijuana legalization bills always get caught up like in the Senate committees, or they never leave the committees. And I think our governor hasn't been very willing to sign it, even if it does go through. But maybe, Kit, you can speak more to that.
That's one of the things that we're seeing is that we talked about how the people tend to support legalization, but the politicians don't always. And that's definitely the case here in Texas. And hemp is very distinct on the whole. They've passed a very... pretty broad, you know. Of course, they nationally legalized hemp in 2018, but here in Texas, the policy is pretty broad. They did try to ban smokable hemp, but even that got overturned by our court, at least temporarily.
Saw that.
People can smoke hemp here again. Yeah. So, you know, the populace wants it, the politicians are resistant, but hemp is supported. It's interesting that, you know, we talk about this a lot. There are two forms of the same plant, they're grown in very different ways. But they are at the base the same plant. And it's weird that politicians have accepted that it's safe as long as it doesn't have THC in it.
Right.
And it's this very arbitrary amount of THC, 0.03%. That's extremely low, so low that it's even hard for people who are just making CBD products sometimes to keep it below that throughout the entire process. So we've created this arbitrary distinction, and now we're talking about how we're going to enforce it. Or at least the politicians really want to enforce it. I hope to see that is breaking, you know, slowly. There's talk that we may see a congressional vote on some form of marijuana legalization in 2021. I don't know if we'll see enough to get it through both parts of Congress, but we probably will see a vote on it. Biden does seem like he supports medical marijuana, and he supports the states making their decisions on recreational. And that's based on his platform. Obviously, we've seen presidents change once they actually get into office. But based on his platform, he wants to see less jail time for people for possession in general. He wants to see a medical marijuana nationally passed, and he wants the states to make up their mind recreationally. That's a pretty good, if we could get there, that's pretty good.
I mean, we're almost there. 36 states. We have 36 states that have either enacted or voted to enact medical marijuana. And then we have 15 states where adult usage is totally fine. So we're way past halfway there. I can't do that math, but that seems like it's close to 50, you know?
Well, even at the point where one of the things I thought was interesting I saw recently was there's some proposal. I saw this in Hemp Industry Daily, so I'll give them a shout out. That we're starting to see so many states legalize that theoretically those states could start working together and sort of forming blocks. Like right now we have the Oregon cannabis industry and the Washington cannabis industry, and each state is in a silo. But if there's enough neighboring states that have all legalized, they could start actually working together. And, you know, your dispensary in Portland could be selling the best stuff from Washington State too.
You've got a conference, sure, just like college football. You've got conferences all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of interesting potential. The more that starts happening, the less it starts to be viable for the country to keep it illegal at all.
Now, I know people that listen to the show, and I've had a couple comments come at me whenever I do a podcast where we start talking about marijuana or THC-related stuff, and they say, I thought this was supposed to be a hemp show. Why are we talking about marijuana? So why are we all sitting here talking about marijuana when we are the Ministry of Hemp? Why is that?
Well, I think that hemp has helped to show an economic opportunity for the plant. And it's just like, there's so much business it just comes along with like opportunity for people, and not controlling a plant. Like, these things are connected. Not controlling business, not controlling what individuals do, you know, when it doesn't harm anybody else and it hasn't been proven to harm anybody. And then the other thing about it is that it's related because people still get arrested for hemp. Like you were mentioning, people can't drive through South Dakota and people get arrested here in Texas for hemp, even though it's legal. So if marijuana was legal, that problem would go away and it would be time that wasn't wasted, money that wasn't wasted going through this arbitrary legal process.
I just totally tricked Drew into saying exactly what I wanted to hear. That was perfect.
Hey, that's my opinion.
No, but I don't disagree at all. I think we're at a point now in the United States where, as bizarre as this sounds, I would argue that marijuana is probably less regulated, not regulated, but is probably easier to gain legally and work with legally than hemp is in a lot of states. And that is preposterously stupid, just inane. If we're afraid of THC, fine, let's be afraid of THC. But the United States has shown we're not. We're not scared of it. When you put on the ballot, we're gonna vote for it. So it's time to stop pretending like, one, there is some issue with 0.03 THC in hemp that makes it perfectly safe and okay. We can raise that number. We could raise it to 10% and you still wouldn't even be coming anywhere near like the good stuff, if you will. You know what I mean? And it's so limited right now. I just did a wonderful interview with a woman that's going to, I don't know if it's going to be next week or the week after, that was talking about hemp plastic. And one of the reasons that's holding things back, like hemp fibers and hemp plastics, is because big business doesn't know what to do yet. They're looking at marijuana being legalized and going, well, there's safe money there and we know we can do that. We can take credit card payments for it now in a lot of states where this has been approved and whatnot. Banking is becoming easier for marijuana than hemp. And that is ridiculous. That makes no sense to me. Does anyone have any thoughts on why we're still having to talk about this at this point? 36 states voted for medical marijuana. 15, it's totally legal. But hemp is still having trouble. And it was legalized by the Farm Bill. Why are we still talking about this?
One problem is just like, we don't want to get into the details on this show, but there has been so much just like divisiveness in politics that even though sometimes there have been bills proposed to fix some of the issues with hemp that's left behind in, you know, the hemp industry, there just hasn't been the time or the energy, or they've been distracted by other things. It's hard to get it on the agenda.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a lot of things on the agenda, and hemp is included in that list right now, unfortunately. Even though some people do want to fix it, even Mitch McConnell has shown that he has said he wants to fix some of the holes that were left behind by the 2018 Farm Bill legalization of hemp. But it's just too much happening. There's too much going on, as we all very well know, to let that in, I think. I think one problem, too, is just this, like, we do have this patchwork of laws. We still don't have a FDA regulation. We still don't have a USDA regulation that everybody can agree on. And all of that's holding the industry back, too. It's even still this sort of like some states do it this way, some states do it that way. And I'm sure, you know, the banking industry wants to come in and do it one way across the country.
Oh, yeah.
And that's still not possible for him.
Yeah. Banking and insurance, both, especially crop insurance. That's one of the things with a lot of the farmers that I've talked to. Crop insurance is such a nightmare because it's different from state to state to state. Now, that is true also with corn and soybeans, but corn and soybeans are not limited other way in other states, are traded, you know, as commodities, and hemp is not. So it's little things like that. It's easy for us to say, you know, we did it. We voted. We won. We're legalizing marijuana and we're fighting for hemp. But that fight's not over. It's nowhere near over. And we need to, you know, keep telling the people in power, we want this. And we don't just want this because, one, we want to get high. That's it, man. Or we're hippies and we like, you know, wearing hemp clothes. No, we want it because it's important for our farmers. It's important for business revenues, like Drew said. It is important to free up frivolous lawsuits and get people out of prison that should not be there. And it's important for our own well-being. There's so many pluses to this, and we can't stop fighting yet. I think that's the most important thing to remember. Let's not just say, we did it. We got rid of Trump. Whew! All our problems are gone. All of them. No, they're not.
Well, I think that there's honestly a debt to be paid on a national level when it comes to cannabis, because if you look at the history, you know, cannabis was first called Indian hemp.
Right.
And it became illegal when there were floods of Mexican, you know, quote unquote, Mexican immigrants like migrating in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's part of a vast criminalization like mechanism that is built into the system. So when you ask, and I like Drew's answer about why it's important with marijuana, you know, with THC, with hemp, with all of these things, there is so much that has gone into why that plant is illegal. Like, and it is very racially motivated.
Definitely.
Against Black and brown people. So we have to actively combat that as we as a nation are going through this moment of racial equity.
Yeah.
Moments are happening, and that the fight around cannabis is a front line in that way.
One of the really cool things that I've seen in Nebraska, just like every other state, we have definitely jerked our Native American people around. And now they've said, well, we're going to start growing marijuana and hemp because it's our land. And you guys don't want to patrol it. You don't want to take care of it. You say it's not part of the United States. So there you go. and they are. And they're doing a fantastic job. And our governor hates it. And I love that he hates it. It's just like, you jerks are the reason that they are living where they're living. Okay. So now we can't get mad and decide, wait a minute. We don't like what you're doing on the land that we said is yours that isn't really good for farming other stuff, but that, which will do very well there, by the way, and make you a ton of money. Now we're upset.
You know, I really like what Nuwu is doing in Las Vegas. It's where I grew up. Oh my goodness. It's beautiful to see Native people with economic empowerment that is fueled by a plant that is within the natural order.
Right. Not fueled by casinos, which is just
no judgment around casinos and all of that. But with cannabis, like, you know, it's another way that you can treat many things. As we know, there are multiple benefits for consuming cannabis of all varieties.
Absolutely.
That's right. Can you introduce what Nuwu is real quick? Because a lot of people listening won't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. Nuwu, I call it the pot grocery store, but it's a beautiful marijuana dispensary in Las Vegas that is run by the Paiute people, native to Las Vegas, who, you know, Las Vegas is built upon their ancestral bones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every time you go swimming there, guess who's underneath your pool?
Yeah. But we like to say, no, it's just a desert. They came out to this desert in the middle of nowhere and we built a strip and now it's beautiful and gorgeous and there's famous people and restaurants. And like, yeah, there was something there before, you jackasses. Yeah. And it wasn't just sand. So.
Oh, there's also like a beautiful springs there that, you know, that tribe has really fought to preserve also.
This is awesome. And this has been a great discussion. And I think, again, we go into speaking about marijuana and THC because it is the same plant. At the end of the day, it's the same plant. And any legislation that is good for marijuana is even better for hemp because it erodes that case that's out there saying, well, we don't know, and it might be a little scary, and maybe we shouldn't feed it to animals, and what if kids eat the seeds? What'll happen? Like, it's time to settle down. It's time to listen to the American public that has voted and said, we want this, and we're going to see more and more states fall, and it is going to be legal. I think it is a foregone conclusion, and it wouldn't surprise me in the next 2 years, we don't even have to talk about this garbage anymore. We can laugh about it. Remember that? That was ridiculous. That's where I hope we end up. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. This was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Matt. I was just going to say one thing real quick is that another reason it's important is because if it's one thing that we all agree on, like we should hold on to one good thing that people from all walks of life can agree on.
Yeah.
We need that right now.
Right? Because it seems like there's not a lot else we do agree on in this country at the moment. So
I think, you know, too, like I think in our ideal world, you know, what I see for the future, you know, we are still going to have distinct industries. It's not like hemp is going to disappear if we legalize marijuana,
right?
Because they are so different. I hope we will invest more in fiber hemp,
definitely,
and in all the ways we can use hemp. If we get rid of all these, you know, like you said, just all these distinctions, if we're allowed to explore the whole plant, I think it'll be better for everybody.
Most definitely, because we're not going to end in a position where it's like, okay, so marijuana is legalized, let's make cattle feed out of it. No, that is where hemp will come in. You know, that fibers, woods, plastics, cardboards, you know, that is where hemp is going to come in. And it's going to come in huge. And there's just no way to stop it. It's just a matter of catching up, education. It's what we're here for, help you guys. And we just have to keep screaming at our leaders and letting them know we want it. Fight's not over. That's the most important thing to remember. Big wins in this election, but the fight is not over.
Thanks, Matt. I agree completely.
I hope you dug this little break from our usual format, and I hope it was informative too, and I hope you understand that, yes, just because things have changed and we will have a new White House and a lot of people have new governors and senators and congressmen, we've still got to stay on them. We've still got to let them know. We want cannabis legislation in this country because it is better for everyone, from the buyer to the farmer. So keep fighting the good fight out there, guys. And don't forget, we here at the Ministry of Hemp think that an accessible world is a better world for everyone. So you can find a complete written transcription of this episode in the show notes for this post at ministryofhemp.com. Brings us to the end of this episode, but maybe you have some questions about legislation in your state or who you need to talk to help fight the good fight, or maybe you just have some hemp questions. That's totally cool, and we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 402-819-6417 and leave your hemp question on our hotline. We, perhaps this panel we had today, will answer it right here on one of our Q&A shows. Or you can also send an MP3 question to me, Matt, at ministryofhemp.com. Just make sure that your message is in MP3 form so we can play it on the show, and be sure to leave your name too so we know who we're addressing. And if you want to read more about this subject, head over to ministryofhemp.com. We have a fantastic story, Hemp After Election 2020, Legalizing Cannabis Will Make Hemp Thrive. It's one of our featured stories right now, and it really drills down into a lot of these subjects. Really informative stuff. And if you enjoy informative stuff like that, follow us on all our social medias at Ministry of Hemp, /Ministry of Hemp. And if you want to support us and help us get more of this information out there and push more hemp education, head to patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and you can become a Ministry of Hemp insider. We'll have a link right in the show notes for this episode that you can click on. And when you do it, any amount that you donate to help us out, first of all, I can't stress how much it helps, but any amount you donate makes you an insider. It gets you access to early stories, to podcast extras, and all kinds of other cool stuff we're doing. But first and foremost, it helps us so much. Also, if you dig what you hear, do me a favor. Rate this podcast. Give us a star or even a short written review, because it helps so much to push us up in search algorithms to get this show in front of people that are looking for more information on hemp. All right, I can go on about this all day long, but I got stuff I got to do, so I'm going to get out of here. And I like to sign off the same way every time by saying, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.